Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal with your hosts, Sherry Peng and Jason Ophir. Explore with us the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and Bigfoot. You can also call into the show at 215-383-3999 and join the discussion.
Hello, everyone in Internet land, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm one of your two hosts, Jason Ophir. Here, as always, Sherry Peng. Sherry, hello.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Doing okay. I'm super tired. I just want to take a nap. I don't know. I'm trying to catch up on sleep this weekend because I don't sleep a lot during the week.
How come? What's the matter? Are you just short on sleep, or what's going on with you?
I think it's weird work hours. It's just causing some insomnia.
Have you tried melatonin?
Not yet, but that's what everybody keeps telling me. I don't like taking stuff. It freaks me out. But
I know,
it might
I don't
get to
blame
the
you.
Point where I have to take it, so.
Yeah, exactly. It's trying to, you don't want any kind of addiction or drug addictions, that's for sure.
Yeah, who knows? I could become a melatonin addict.
A melatonin addict. Oh, my goodness.
Start snorting melatonin.
Geez. Well, anyway, we're going to encourage our listeners this evening for open lines. We haven't had open lines for a while, huh, Jason?
No, not a while, not in a long while. So, yeah, if anybody wants to call into the show and share a paranormal story, you can call in at 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999. And, yeah. Call in and tell us your story or anything you want to talk about, we can talk about. But so while we're waiting for people to call, if they call, I do have some stuff that I wanted to talk about. Now, Sherry, did you have some stuff that you set aside to talk about?
No, go ahead, Jason. I'm going to let you have the floor. If I need to intervene, I will.
Okay. Well, you know, this is something I'd mentioned a couple times on the show, and I was kind of hesitant to talk about this because it kind of freaks me out. I don't know if you listen to the show, you know I scare easily. But the thing that I wanted to bring up tonight was one aspect of the Ouija board, which is there's been a lot of press, a lot of talk out there about this one particular entity named Zozo who's coming through the spirit board. And it's a demon, and there's all sorts of YouTube videos of this entity coming across, you know, all corners of the planet with people playing with Ouija boards, and it's really an evil entity, and it's created quite a buzz. I think there might have even been a movie made or a movie in the works about it. Have you heard of this entity, Sherry, Zozo?
Yes, I have. Mary Ellen Guiley. And her friend, I forgot his name, but they wrote a book about Zozo. So very interesting. It's, just a little bit about what I heard is that this is a demon that comes out, I believe. Is that correct, Jason?
Yeah, it's just a particular entity, demon, whatever. People think it's a demon that come out and causes all sorts of problems. I find it fascinating, but as you know, I'm kind of skeptical, but you never know. So I went in online because I wanted to learn a little bit more about it, and I went to this website called ghosttheory.com, and they had an article here. And what I found interesting about the article is it doesn't talk so much about Zozo. There is a little bit of background. They're saying that this entity has been documented since the early 1800s, but it really began to show itself more frequently with the advent and the popularity of the Ouija board. So it really came to light only recently. But what's interesting about this article is people submitted their personal stories of having to deal with Zozo on the Ouija board. So I thought if we didn't get a lot of people calling into the show, I could just kind of read through some of these stories, and there's several of them, and it's very interesting. So I thought that would be kind of neat to share some of people's accounts of dealing with this spirit.
Yes, that sounds very interesting. I'd love to hear that.
Cool. So what's that?
Go ahead and shoot. I'd like to hear it.
All right. Well, you know, my reading skills might not be completely up to par, so I ask all the listeners to bear with me. as far as I'm not 100% sure that the grammar on all these is correct, so hopefully I can read it and it'd be somewhat understandable. So so there's a person that read an article on Zozo. He lives in rural Virginia, and basically where he lives, every other family has a cemetery plot on its property, or so he believed. He had just moved there from Southern California and wanted to create a coffee table with a glass top and display some local artifacts underneath that represented the Virginia area and its rich history. He went to a yard sale, bought a table, and wanted to refurbish and construct a display so that he could display some of the items. When he took off the table, I guess he got this table, and he found a homemade Ouija board under the hollow space under the top. So he buys this, you know, secondhand table and finds this hidden homemade Ouija board. Now, that has just bad news written all over it, if you ask me, doesn't that, Sherry?
Yeah, oh, definitely. We had Karen Dahlman, remember? She's had experience with the Ouija board, 42 years experience of teaching and researching and everything, but still, that part of me, I don't like to open that floodgate open. It's like I'm opening Pandora's box, I guess.
I know, right? I mean, it's, you know, I'll tell you, if I was at a yard sale and I'm like, oh, cool, I want a coffee table, and I take it home and I open up, the top comes off and there's a Ouija board, you know what that coffee table is going to be? It's going to be kindling. It's not going in my house.
I think I would take it back and dump it somewhere. I don't think it would be kindling. I think I'd be dumping it somewhere.
Yeah. You know, you could put it on the porch of the person you hate the most. You know, it's kind of on and off.
Oh, no, you want that karma.
But
okay,
anyway, so he discovers this homemade Ouija board built into this coffee table, and there was no planchette with it, and that's the thing you put your fingers on, you slide around, and it goes to the letters. At first, he thought there was nothing to it, but then he was told a story, he told the story to a few locals, and told him that the board is separated from the planchette in its effort to secure. It's kind of confusing. I have no idea what this person is trying to say, but anyways, he constructed the table, and one of the objects. I'm trying to scan this because a lot of it doesn't make a lot of sense here.
Okay.
So basically, he sets up the table, and he continues to set it up, and he noticed that one night he heard his dogs growling in the bedroom, and they were staring at the door. And so he went to see what they were upset at, and when he turned the lights on in the adjoining family room, he saw the table. The glass was scratched and etched with something from something sharp underneath. So he put the glass on top of the table where the handmade Ouija board was at. And at that point, he kind of knew that something was up with the board. And so he disabled the table. And he noticed that the table had moved to a different part of the room and stuff like that. So there's not a whole lot to that story. But when he looked at the etchings in the glass, he noticed that there was a big Z that was etched in the glass that appeared from nowhere. So he attributed that to Zozo. So I don't know. If I had found something like that again, I wouldn't mess with it. But, you know, again, I'm skeptical. So, yeah, I guess he put a glass top on it and noticed a big Z got etched mysterious in the glass, and the table was moved.
That's not good.
What do you think of that?
You know, you start messing with those kind of things, and you're not protecting yourself, and you just, you know, it's not parlor games. I really feel that these kind of things should be taken seriously, and you need to know what the ramifications and the dangers and things like that are, you know. Okay, go ahead.
I told you I'm not the best reader. But
okay.
So here's another one. Here's another person that told of his experience with the demon Zozo and the Ouija board. He had gone to Target in about February to buy a glow-in-the-dark Ouija board. I didn't know they had glow-in-the-dark Ouija boards. They really thought of everything.
Okay.
Did you know that, Sherry?
No, I didn't know that at all. Okay.
So he went there, he got this glow-in-the-dark Ouija board, and they decided to play with it. And he met this nice spirit named Lily. And this Lily spirit, through the Ouija board, said that she needed help. They were trying to help her, and he doesn't really specify as how they were trying to help her, but he says that nothing worked. I don't know how you help a spirit via a Ouija board. But later that night, about 12 o'clock in the middle of the night, they asked again if anybody was there, and it said Zozo, and they didn't think anything about it. They asked questions, and Zozo seemed friendly. So they all got up, went to the living room, and the board was still out. And so they were just sitting around talking and drinking Mountain Dew. After about 10 minutes, they put their glasses in the sink and went back to the room, only to discover that the board was gone, flat out gone. They searched everywhere for it. So after a while, they gave up and went back into the living room to find it there. So we went back into the room and played with it some more. So this they have a teleporting Ouija board, apparently. At about 3:33 a.m., my ponytail holder broke, and my hair went over. It's funny. And my hair went over my face, and the person says that they blacked out. So they're sitting there playing with it, and I'm not really sure what a ponytail. It must be a little loop that holds your hair together. Is that what that is?
Is it a ponytail, you said?
Well, a ponytail holder.
Oh, okay. It's probably a ponytail holder is one of those little things for your hair. That's what I'm thinking about. You know, where you the little rubber bands, you know, those kind of things.
Well, apparently he was, or he or she, whatever, was playing with it, and the hair falls out because the ponytail holder broke and covers his face. And then he's saying that he blacked out, and his friends were saying that he was possessed, and that when Lily came back, they said that the pointer towards the person whose ponytail broke, like things slid across the board, and the people there were freaking out because this one person became possessed. The people that were there said that this person tried to hurt them and was speaking in a different language, something like Latin. And the most freaky thing that happened was there was a candle in the room that lit by itself. So I would have hightailed it out of there.
I think so. It's not something you want to mess with. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. You know, I have to admit. Yeah,
oh,
I'm a little
boy.
I'm a little skeptical about I don't know. I'm still skeptical about it.
Okay.
Here's another person who had an experience. This person's experience was about 5 years ago, and because of their experience, they refused to touch the Ouija board. She would always play with it with her grandmother and her husband, and the board would only work when this person was actually touching it with her husband and grandmother. That's interesting. But it would never work when she was touching it herself. Every time she touched the board, Zozo would come out, and it would always ask nice at first, but then it would start to get a little mischievous. Zozo would start telling her specific things, like I was with you in your red truck when you went to Ashley's house and stuff like that. Zozo would say he was following her and was with her all the time. Oh, that's kind of freaky.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's just a bunch of, you know, short stories like that. Let me see if we have any callers. We don't have any callers, so I will keep going. Did you have anything you wanted to interject on that?
No, go ahead. I will when I need to. That's okay. Go ahead and continue.
There's a lot of these, so I'm kind of scanning them. Actually, there's not as many as I thought there were. It's just a long page that you keep scrolling, and then it just goes to comments. But like I said, I'm skeptical, but I'm not brave enough to go out and purchase a board to try and experiment myself, because I really don't know. Now, I think I've mentioned on the show before that I actually have played the Ouija board. Actually, I was playing with it quite a lot, and some weird stuff happened. It was a long time ago, but I don't remember exactly. I remember one time I was playing with it outside on the deck, and I asked for the spirit, and I don't even remember the name. I don't think that particular entity ever came through, but I asked for a sign, and there were all these black crows in this nearby tree, and as soon as I asked for the sign, they all just skedaddled out of the tree. But I don't remember anything like super freaky happening.
Yeah, I don't feel like I want to mess with that kind of arena.
But maybe I could go buy a Ouija board and we could do a live session.
Oh, yeah, right, Jason. You can play by yourself. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Oh, I'd rather have things that are in the light instead of in the darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Okay, so I kind of am going to backtrack here a little bit because I think this is an interesting subject, so I'm going to keep talking about it.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm not opening up the door here. So while I'm talking, like I'm multitasking right now because I'm trying to read those stories and I'm trying to find more material so that we can keep going with it. So here's a little bit more history on the Zozo. I had previously had mentioned that it had been reported back in the 1800s, but here's some more information. They're saying specifically it was reported. The entity was first reported in 1816 when a girl in Picardy, France, fell victim to a severe demonic possession. And it was believed that she was a vessel of a number of demons, one of which was the mysterious Zozo. Later, when Ouija boards entered into popular culture in the 20th century, stories of Zozo began to rise, with numerous tales of the Ouija spirit, one who devours souls and changes lives. Zozo is believed to be a complicated entity, or so it would seem. In most stories, it's initially friendly, sometimes using a different name. Occasionally, it will appear in the middle of a conversation with another spirit and interrupt the communication. The planchette, that's the thing you put your fingers on, such a fancy word, too, planchette. So when you put your fingers on it, it performs strange figure eights or inverted Zs, and answers become repetitive. But it does not take long for the encounter with this entity to turn frighteningly negative. It's difficult to tell which stories about Zozo are authentic and which are nothing more than urban legends. Some tell of murder, suicides, while others involve possession, physical ailments, abuses, curses, and other things that are commonly associated with demonic forces. Some people have even claimed that Zozo attached to them or their family like a parasitic demon. Here are some more encounters with Zozo. I have to switch between pages here to make sure that we don't have anybody calling in, so bear with me one second, and we don't, so I will continue. Here's somebody in 2012 had shared a story of a confrontation with a suspicious Ouija spirit. Her friend had been asking the spirit board questions about her recently deceased father, which it answered correctly. Then the board unexpectedly turned its attention to her mother. Again, the board seemed to have supernatural knowledge of their parents. They were both in tears. Then the active spirit seemed to switch again. They asked who it was this time, and the reply was a haunting. The pointer went Ozzy, 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 Ozzy. So they called him Oz. He asked him to blow out a candle to prove himself, and before we completed the sentence, the candle blew out. The strange spirit also knew the exact time when asked. However, it would later reveal a haunting truth. He had been there the whole time, posing as her friend's father and her mother, answering questions correctly by reading their minds.
Wow, yeah. Are you serious?
The two of them immediately put the Ouija board away when the spirit began to curse. They wanted nothing more to do with Oz. Unfortunately, when they returned to it a few weeks later, thinking the worst had passed, again met Oz, and he was nasty and cursing at us and saying dark things. From then on, they seemed to experience nothing but bad luck. It wasn't until finally they researched their plight on the internet that they learned that the infamous Ouija demon was Oz, was actually the malevolent Zozo. There you go, kids. Don't play with Ouija boards.
Yes, don't. Not at all. Yes,
now,
I'd like to have Mary Ellen Guiley on the show. I spoke with her a couple months ago, and she was really busy, and she would like to one of these days come on our show. She is just a wealth of information regarding the paranormal.
It would be interesting, but I'll play the devil's advocate, no pun intended. There was there are people, you know, scientists claim that the use of the Ouija motor is something that's called an ideomotor effect. You're basically pushing the thing subconsciously. And there were experiments done where you would have people, and I've mentioned this on the show before, where you have people sitting at a Ouija board and they're having a regular Ouija board session and they're blindfolded so they can't see the board. And what the researchers would do is they would take the board, they would turn it around and reverse it so that the yeses and nos weren't in the places that the participants thought they were in. So these people that were playing the Ouija board would do their session, and when they were asking yes and no questions, they would get wrong answers because they weren't aware that the Ouija board was reversed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that never... Wow.
So, if they reverse the board, they say, you know, if there's supposed to be a yes answer, the planchette would go to a blank spot because they don't know the board's reversed. So that kind of shows that maybe this is just kind of a mental ideomotor kind of thing. But like with anything in the paranormal or, you know, who knows, really. You know, these are questions that will probably never get answered. So... here's another person that had an experience. She had been using a Ouija board with a friend one cold Saturday evening under the glow of a red candlelight. Ooh, eerie. When the spirit they were talking to said it was Zozo, at that exact moment, her friend began to complain of a terrible headache. Things from that moment only got worse. That night, she slept, walked into her sister's room. She said, her friend then started talking gibberish and screamed red, and then left the room and could not be found in the house for a half hour. That this person seemingly disappeared. They searched the house for her every room of the house, and then the friend magically appeared again. Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. So they were playing with it, and somebody ended up disappearing. It makes no sense.
Wow. Huh. Oh, geez. Well, maybe we should change subject.
You know,
go ahead.
It's funny you said that because I was just thinking that, and I was just gonna switch it to angels.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have a thing that I just found. It says 16 signs that your house is haunted. So I don't know if you want me to talk about it really quick, or do you want to, let's talk about angels. Let's kind of move
back
to a very lightheaded.
Go ahead and do your thing, and I'm gonna pull up some information on angels.
Okay, good. Okay. So anyway, this article says, it's very short, but I'm going to get to it. It says, how do you know that persistent rapping on your walls is bad plumbing or mischievous spirit? Here are some of the signs of a haunting in your home. You hear heavy footsteps in the upstairs hallway when you know no one is up there. Doors slam unaccountably. Common used items disappear and reappear without cause. The kitchen light turns on and off by itself. There's the unmistakable scent of strange perfume in the air. There may be indications that your house is haunted. True hauntings are rare occurrences, but may be difficult to determine whether or not strange phenomena you are experiencing in your home might be due to a haunting. For one thing, no one really knows what a real haunting is, what it causes, or why it starts. There are many theories, of course, which we have discussed in this article. But if you think that your house is haunted, read below. And it says the signs of a haunting. The first step to determine as best as you can whether or not you truly have a legitimate case of a haunting, not all hauntings are alike. They may exhibit variety of phenomenon. Some hauntings feature a single phenomenon, such as a particular door slamming shut that occurs repeatedly, while others consistently may have different phenomenon, ranging from odd noises to full-blown apparitions. Unexplained noises, footsteps, knocks, banging, rapping, scratching sounds, sounds of something being dropped, something that noise. These noises can be subtle, or other times they can be quite loud. Okay, Jason, I got a question. So as a paranormal investigator, have you experienced any of those things that I have already just previously discussed or talked about in your experience?
I've seen things that I've been able to explain away. I haven't seen anything so drastic to the point where I would say that something's haunted. I've captured things on film where I was like, you know, what is that? But not really. I've never really seen like an object move, or I've conducted investigations where there are mysterious footsteps that I ended up getting on audio, but I also heard at the time and opened the door, and it was like right outside the door walking down the stairs, and ran out there and there's nobody there. So,
wow.
Those are kind of things, but yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so here's
what about you?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, what about you? Have you ever?
I have a house that was built in 1895, and there's an old man downstairs that has been here since I've moved in about 14, 15 years ago. And, you know, he's just a peaceful soul. He comes with a house. I really feel that he's actually built the house. Even a friend had even indicated that she felt the same way, that this person had something to do with the house before it was a house. It was actually a cabin. So I have heard different, like, creaking in the floors, like somebody's walking and things like that. But so after I did my last house clearing, he's gone. So, you know, if there's – actually, I would like to continue to have my house cleared of any kind of spirits if I can help it, unless they're my parents, of course. But, you know, yes, I have experienced things like that, yes.
Did you have other stuff to talk about that?
Yes, okay. So anyway, I'll continue. Sorry, guys. But doors, cabinets, and cupboards opening and closing. Most often, these phenomena are not seen directly. The experiencer either hears the distinct sounds of the doors opening and closing. Homeowners get to know quite well the distinctive sounds in the houses that they make. Or the experiencer will return to a room to find a door open or closed when they are certain that it was left in the opposite position. Sometimes furniture, like kitchen chairs, are perceived to have been moved. Very rarely will the experiencer actually witness the phenomenon taking place. Lights turning off and on. Likewise, these events are seldom seen actually occurring, but the lights are switched on and off when the experiencer knows that they left that way. This can happen with TVs, radios, and other electrically powered items. Items disappearing and reappearing. It says this phenomenon has been dubbed the DOP Doppler effect. Disappearing object phenomenal has been examined in the article Doppler effect. Others call it the Barrows phenomenon. It's a familiar experience of not being able to find a regularly used item, say a set of your house keys, when you believe you placed them in a spot you routinely place them, but then they're gone and you look high and low with no success. Sometimes later, the keys can be found in exact the same place where you put them. It is as if the object was borrowed by someone or something for a short time and then returned. Sometimes they are not returned for days or even weeks, but when they are, it is obvious place that they could have not been missed by even a casual search. Unexplained shadows, the sightings of fleeting shapes and shadows, usually seen out of the corner of the eye. The phenomenon has been discussed in some detail called shadow people. Many times, the shadows are vaguely human forms, while other times they are less distinguishable or smaller. Strange animal behaviors. Your dog, a cat, or pet behaves quite strangely. Dogs will bark at something unseen, cowering without any apparent reason or refuse to enter a room they normally do. Cats will seem to be watching something across the room or up in the ceiling. Animals have a sharper sense than humans, and many researchers think that the psychic abilities might be more finely tuned in. Feelings of being watched. This is not an uncommon phenomenon or feeling that can be attributed to many things, but it could have a paranormal source that the feeling consistently occurs in a particular part of your home at a particular time. These are just a few common experiences of those who think their houses are haunted. Yet, even stranger things can happen to you. Yes, very interesting.
There's so much strangeness in the world.
It is, and things that we can't explain or, you know, theoretically go and scientifically explain. Sometimes you can't. They're just something that you have to experience and feel. And, it just happens randomly. I believe in that sometimes when people die, they come back and they let you know one way or another that they're around you. It may not be obvious, but a lot of times they're very subtle.
It is very subtle. I'm kind of doing research here. I'm listening and I'm trying to get. I was looking for angels and stuff. And I'm not finding anything that is actually worth reporting on. But I did type in near-death experiences. What do you think about that?
I believe it happens. I mean, there's so many things that are out there that, you know, is out of our realm of experience, let alone our comprehensions. But, you know, I really feel that probably some people have to experience that in order to be enlightened. I don't know. You know, I really like people that are comatose or, you know, accidents, people that are supposed to be declared dead and pronounced dead, and they come back to life. So it's really interesting how, you know, it's not their time. I feel, this is my personal feelings, this is they're not time to cross over. They haven't had their purpose or their work done out here on Earth. That's why they bounce back. NED, near-death experience. very common phenomenon, I heard.
Maybe everybody should have an NDE, and then there'd be a lot less craziness and violence in the world.
Maybe. My understanding, they become more enlightened and more at peace with this world and who they are and what their purpose is.
Did you know, here's a little known factoid, did you know when the first report of an NDE was reported? How far back do you think that goes?
I have no idea.
The first legit report was by a French physician in 1740.
Really?
Like, documented. It was an anthropologist, the way it was discovered. An anthropologist bought a book in an antique shop that documented the near-death experience.
Wow.
And NDEs have been reported as being, you know, profound, like you're saying, psychological events with mystical and transcendental effects. And it's very interesting. I don't personally want to have one because I don't want to be near death.
Are you scared of death?
Of course. Are you?
Not as bad. No, I feel that this is my personal feeling. I feel that there is no such thing as death. There's just a different world. Our souls, this is my personal feeling, but our souls transcend into a different world. There is no such thing as death, but that's me, you know. I've had too many cases when I read somebody that they know everything. You can't hide anything from people that have crossed over. They know everything. They can pop in on you at any given moment or any given hour or whatever. So.
But what, see, this is the problem that I have with ghosts, is so there's just spirits here that are just, they're just going to be here because they can't cross over for infinity? I mean, that kind of sucks. That can't be the case.
Well, there's a lot that we don't know about, and there's a lot for us to learn, that's for sure.
Like, I would hate to die and then be a ghost, you know, like, say if I got shot outside of Taco Bell, haunting the parking lot of Taco Bell for eternity. That doesn't sound like, you know. I want to make a run for the border. I want to make a run for the light.
Oh, boy. You'll be okay, Jason. Don't worry. Do what you can on this earth and learn as many lessons as you can. That's all you can do, and share those lessons with love. That's all we can do. Got to keep our ego in check and just share the love.
Yeah, there's not enough love in the world. It's, you know, we've talked about it many times, that the world has just basically gone to hell. I mean, it's all about money and power and control, and it. I think humanity generally has lost touch with what it is to be human, which I would imagine would be compassion and all those sorts of things.
Very much so. Very much so. We're driven by money and greed, but, you know, there are many good people out there. We just have to, you know, be kind of alert and, you know, hopefully have those kind of people around us if we can.
So do you think that, I've heard talk of in the past of there being some sort of conscious awakening. Do you think that things are ever going to change? That humanity will evolve to the point where there won't be wars and, you know, it won't be all about money and power?
That's a really good question, Jason. You know, to be honest with you, I just really feel there's always a balance, you know. I don't think that this world is going to be the, you know, like, oh, it's going to be la la land and, you know, we're going to have no more war and we're going to have no more, you know, we're going to have just nothing but peace. Because being trained in Chinese medicine, I went to school for 3 years, and we always look at the duality. There's, if without the yin, there's a yang. There's male, female, positive, negative, light and dark. There's always, you know, a polarity. And, you know, what we can do as a human race is that we can try and achieve on a conscious level individually, be aware of where our mindset, and collectively, hopefully, that will be more, it would offset the good over the bad. There's always, I feel there's always going to be bad. There's always a bad apple in the barrel of you know, in a barrel of fruit or something. But, you know, the thing is that we want to be able to be aware of our shortcomings, learn our lessons, and be able to try and achieve the best things we can to make this world a better place. And if we all can strive that, the balance of good would be better than bad. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, but you're kind of saying that there always has to be a balance, so you can't ever
I think
have
so.
To.
I think we're living in la-la land if everything's going to be perfect, you know. It's not, you know. It's whatever's perfect is, it's all an imagination and an illusion.
Well, I've always thought that there's going to be some sort of massive world catastrophe that is going to help change humanity's path and consciousness. Like, it'll be so bad to the point that people would have to work together in order to survive, essentially.
Yes, and have to is the question. I don't know if it's have to. It's whether they want to or want to evolve themselves into a higher state of consciousness.
And, you know, we're living, came across an article the other day, and I had read this before. We live in the Pacific Northwest, and there's this huge, like, every 5,000 years, there's a megathrust earthquake, and put that into perspective, you're talking magnitude 9 or higher, which would be devastating.
That would be horrible. Yeah, that 9 point, wow, that's a lot. Is
it,
yeah,
or
that
higher,
would take
it could
out
be a 10. I mean, the one that was off Japan, I think it was, or I don't know if it was one off Japan or Indonesia or whatever. I think that was close to a 9 or a 9. But you're talking about this megathrust earthquake could be even greater than that. And it's just the way the tectonic plates are. And so they can tell this by drilling into the soil and seeing the changes, because they can look at the soil and go back tens of thousands of years and see when these happen. So they were able to determine that it happens every once 5,000 years. And right now or happen once within 5,000 years. So the last one was based on soil samples was like 4,600 years ago.
Oh,
so
wow.
We're like on the verge of, if it happened, it would probably be the worst disaster ever recorded.
I would imagine.
I mean, the West Coast would be annihilated.
Definitely. Well, you know, they say that we're in the West Coast. The Northwest is, what is it, the San Andreas Fault?
I don't know how far that goes. I know the megathrust earthquake that they worry about off the coast is to do something with the Juan de Fuca plate. And I think it's the Juan de Fuca plate and the North American plate when they slip. San Andreas is in California. I don't know if it extends into Oregon or not. But the point being is, I think that, you know, not just the Northwest, but worldwide, you know, that things are probably going to be heating up, and we're going to probably start seeing more and more of these disasters where people are going to, I think they're going to have to pull together. But of course, there will, you know, there'll probably be insurrection and riots and stuff like that. But it would just be nice to see the consciousness change.
Yeah, I would like to see that too. But, you know, the thing is all we can do is just look at ourselves and see what we can do to become better people. That's what we can do. Simple as that.
Dig deep inside.
Exactly. Okay, have you found anything, Jason, that you like to talk about?
I haven't, and I have not seen anybody call into this show. So we're totally winging it, but you know what? That's okay.
Hey, they're the best.
We haven't had to wing it in a long, long time. So it's always good to do that. It keeps us on our toes.
It does, and it's really neat to be able to go and just ad-lib everything, nothing orchestrated, and just kind of work it out. So
total ad-libbed. I'm trying to find something positive because I started off the show negatively with all that Ouija board stuff. So I didn't turn up much on angels, but yeah, I'm trying to think of positive things to talk about because you were talking about the duality. So I'm trying to even it out with some duality.
Well, what about just kind of getting into that? What about the different type of psychic abilities? That's something very simple. It can get right into, you know, talking about clairsentience and clairvoyance and clairaudience and things like that. That's pretty cut and dried, and, you know, it's getting right to the point. So maybe that could be something that we can talk about too.
You know more about that than I do. I don't remember what all those are, sentient and that's all you. I don't know anything about it.
Well, clear audience is being able to clear, C-L-A-I-R. It's clear means clear. And so when you attach the audience, it's hearing, clearly hearing, you know, people, the voices, whether it's your spirit guides, the different clairs, clear audience, being able to hear your spirit guides, hear people that are on the other side, could be your guardian angels. You know, it just, everybody's different. But we all have access. It's just whether we have the openness and the discipline and being able to just sit still and listen. There's clear sentience, which is clear feeling. So when you're an empath, that's part of being clear sentience. And I get the feeling you are that.
Clear sentient?
Mm-hmm. I feel that you are, you can feel other people.
Oh,
whether
yeah,
you
definitely
realize that or not. You're very sensitive, and it's just being able to just tune in and be able to just feel what other people are feeling. It's the gift of sensing. So if you feel you like walk in a room and you feel like, oh, bad, the energy's bad, it's like you're picking up on the energy. It's feeling, clear feeling. It's very complex, but it's very simple. And people try and make it more than what it is. But it's just, when you have your intuition, it's being able to go and listen to what's going on, what your gut's telling you.
Well, I definitely, I would agree with that. I've gone into houses, or I can look at a picture of a house and be like I've had people where they're like, oh, we just moved into this house, and they had a picture on Facebook, and I'm like, you know, enjoy your haunted house, and it ends up being haunted, or I'll walk in somewhere. I can just like sense this stuff, and I.
Yes, you.
I don't want. Why can't I have a superpower like being able to burst things into flame or move objects or. Invisibility. I don't want to be sentient. I don't want to be sensitive. If anything, I want to be numb to the world.
Oh, my gosh. And clairvoyance, that's clear vision or clear seeing. So, you know, being able to see things that are happening before, you know, like a prophecy. Those are things, being able to see something before it happens, or being able to see somebody, whether they're physical or in your mind's eye, those are clairvoyance. So those are... They're just different things. There's also, and I didn't discuss this, but they're called clear olfaction. It's clear smelling, and people that can smell different things, different odors, you know, from a place or an object. It's really interesting. And clear cognizance is clear knowing before you even, you know, knowing before. It's like the intuition, okay? What is that one where I forgot what is it where you know object, you know, you pick up an object. That's what I'm learning, is you're able to go and pick up an object and it tells you stories. And
oh, yeah.
I love that. I'm just learning to do that. I am clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient. And I know this, and I've been told by a few people I have the balance. Some people are stronger in clairaudience, some are more stronger in clairsentient or a combination, but I feel that I do three things. I can balance it out. So each person has their gifts, and some are stronger than others. But, yes, being able to go and see an item and get stories or pictures is just amazing. It's amazing what kind of – it's an energetic footprint. Just like when you go to the Goodwill, okay? And believe me, this is personally, but after I've learned this, I don't think I will step into another Goodwill next time. But, people who have – You buy things from a used hand, a secondhand store, you know, whether it's a dead person or a person that, you know, just don't want it, it has an energetic blueprint. It has energy to it. And so if you tune into it, you have to be careful because you want to cleanse it, and sometimes you may not even want to buy it. Things that are not good in a Goodwill store are mirrors, portraits, dolls, furniture. They hold spirits. So those are kind of not advised to do those things, to buy, you know, because sometimes the spirits are bound into the energy of the object. Some people believe in it, some people don't, but I do believe in it personally. So anyway, that's why you got to be careful.
So what would you say to people that say that having those abilities or, you know, training to be better at those abilities is the work of the devil?
People are going to say that.
Psychic powers are evil. You're a witch, blah, 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 blah.
And it's coming from they're coming from Christians, nothing berating Christians, but I feel like the Christians sometimes, you know, they have that mentality, or they think that. But you know what? We all come in with these gifts. It's just whether we are aware of them and we're willing to take the discipline, the patience, and the knowing to be able to work with it. It's not the devil's work. You know, it's just because they can't see it, feel it, touch it, or realize it with their logical brain doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I knew as a small child I can see dead people. You know, it was just something that it was just part of me. And, you know, it's a lot of people, you're being told this is not what you're supposed to think, or, you know, you're imagining these things. But, you know, it is what it is. Children and pets are their most open people when it comes to the sixth sense. We have to relearn what we forgot.
Do you think, we hear that a lot, where children are a lot more open, that's why they see things and have imaginary friends. So that's basically just trained out of us through parents, or is just something that we naturally evolve out of?
Absolutely. I feel that we all have that instinctive since we're born, but a lot of it is because that society and our parents, and it just, instead of nurturing it, we end up having to shut it down and have just being told that you're crazy, or you're, you know, it doesn't exist, or anything like that. But then again, on the other side, you don't want to give a kid a gun, have the power, but not being able to harness it. So there is, I feel, there is a time and place where the child is ready, not a child, I should say, that's wrong, but a person who's adult enough to understand and be able to work with it. So there's that balance again, they know that they have a power, but being able to have the discipline and the right people to help them and guide them to empowering them with their gifts.
Okay? I just had a creepy feeling or a creepy thought where, what if the world is totally different around us when we're a toddler and a small child? You know, like
different.
surrounded by things that we can't see now, like you're talking about. But I don't know. It's kind of freaky.
Wow. It is. Oh, the word. I forgot. It just kind of came to my mind. It's called psychometry. The psychometry. It's the gift of being able to feel something and read the energetic imprints, or sensing the vibration of the attachment of an object. So that's what I was talking about, is being able to feel those kind of things. Mm-hmm.
And you said that you're training yourself to do that?
Mm-hmm. I'm just learning to do that. I'm just opening myself to do that, feel an object and just be open and get different images, different imprints. One of my yoga students, he knows who he is, but one of my yoga students that I teach intermediate yoga, he comes over and he said, "Sherry, I want you to go and feel, I brought these World War One and World War Two helmets. I want you to give me some information on this." And the first helmet I picked up, I didn't even want to look at it. I just picked it up and I felt it. And it felt like it was German. It felt very German, like Nazi Germany or whatever. And I was able to pick up a name. I was able to feel exactly how he died and being undercover, those kind of things. And so my other half walked in the room, and he understood what I was doing. He goes, "Oh, that's a German war hat." I said, "Oh, cool." I was very humble, but bingo, kind of thing. And it was interesting because that was my second experience of learning how to pick up the energy of the person that wore it. So yeah, I feel like it's cool. I'm excited. This whole journey in this world Earth and doing the radio show and meeting some wonderful people. It just really is. It just enlightens my soul, I feel so happy to be able to be in touch with other things and other people. It just really is wonderful. And like you, Jason, you too.
Well, that would be
learning.
Yeah, I try and stay away from learning anything psychic. I don't know. I think life is too complicated.
I think you're afraid of it. Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah, I don't want to see dead people. Like, imagine trying to sleep at night. You can't sleep as it is and wake up and have some freaking ghost crawling on my ceiling. No, thank you.
No, I don't want that. And this is what running has taught me. I've done 4 marathons. And I'll have to say, running for 20 years, this has really taught me the discipline. I don't walk around and say, "Oh, my gosh, I see dead people. Oh, my gosh, I see dead people." No. When I'm ready to work, when I'm ready to do gallery, when I'm ready to actually open up, I open that gate. But in this world, when I see you or, go out in Costco or out in the store, I don't pay attention to it. I shut that down. Because, again, there you go. It's harnessing that energy. It's being able to have the discipline. You have to have the discipline. There's a big responsibility to be a psychic medium or a channel or whatever you want to call it. You need the discipline. You don't want to give a kid a gun and doesn't know how to aim. That's very dangerous. Okay? That's just me. But then there's the duality of me training in Chinese medicine. You need to, in order to get the power, you need the discipline. Time. And just being able to just spend time with yourself. It really is. Pretty
when I
simple.
Think of seeing dead people, I think of, like, the movie Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg being surrounded by dead people.
That's pretty suspicious. Yeah, it doesn't happen. Not with me, anyway.
Well.
Oh, it's crazy. Okay.
Well, it looks like we're out of time. We kind of ad-libbed our way through this show today.
Hey, it worked out pretty good, Jason.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it's not like our going, what do we talk about now? Oh, my goodness.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. So, anyway, we're going to have our guest next week. And, yes, we're going to maybe go live, maybe, right?
I'll see how I feel. You live so far out in the boonies.
Oh, my gosh, Jason. I'm having a party, and we need to go live, okay? Oh, my goodness. So, anyway, don't make that an excuse. We'll have it earlier, and you can, you know, come out and hang out and have a bunch of people, and then we'll go live, and you can, and I can send you home in your merry way. Be fed. Good company.
We'll see.
Okay. Well, I don't know what I can do to twist your arm.
I don't know.
Okay. All
we'll
right.
see. We'll see how the week goes.
Okay. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for your support.
Yeah, thank you so much for the support. And, yep, we're out of time. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight and putting up with our slap together show. And we'll have a guest next week. And hope everybody has a great week. And we'll be back next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. So good night, everyone.
Thank you. Take care. Bye, guys. Peace.